The book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 6. Book of John, chapter 6, verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come with him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, we do ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, that you would give us comfort through the scriptures. And Lord, that you would give us answers through your preaching. Lord, and that we could be joyous Christians. Lord, we ask this morning as well that if there's one here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that before they leave this building, that they would come to know you. Lord, I do in a special way ask that you would be with each heart and mind here this morning. Lord, take it off of the world. Put it on you that we can gain from your word and from the preaching of the word something that would help us along our way. I ask you to hide me behind that cross. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And these things I ask in his name. Amen. You may be seated. The very first verse brings up a question for me. After these things, what things? That's kind of the way I look at it. After these things, what things? Well, if you study Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find out that Herod had had John the Baptist killed because he didn't like John too much. And what was her name? Herodias. Her daughter danced for him with a bunch of other people that were out there. And he promised her, hey, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Even up to half of my kingdom. All I can say is she must have been something else. And she said, by direction of her mom, I want John the Baptist's head on a silver platter. Well, when you read that account, you find out that Herod was a little bit disappointed in that. He really didn't want to do that. He didn't like John because John had told him he was married unlawful. But nonetheless, he had to make good on what he promised. There is something in that that this is not part of the message, but be careful what you say. Be careful what you promise. But nonetheless, he was killed. And from that point, people were just kind of, the followers that John had were sort of lost. They were just rambling around. And so after these things, Jesus, it says, had a great multitude follow him. And the word says because his miracles that he done. And Jesus went up into a mountain and there he sat with his disciples. Now, Jesus, really and truly, he looked around and he realized that they don't have their shepherd, John the Baptist. That's what these people were following him. John had been there for quite some time preaching and teaching, and there's a lot of people that had grown to respect John. He had followers. But Jesus looked out at them now and he saw that they had no shepherd. They were following him because of his miracles. The Bible tells us that. And the good things that he was doing. Let me ask you a question real quick. Aren't you glad Jesus still has compassion? Amen. Amen. I am. I'm very glad. Now, there are people in this world that they'll say, well, folks were using him. Folks were using the church. They wasn't getting the right idea from Christ. They wasn't getting they don't get the right idea from the church. They just use us just for the good things that we do. But let me ask you something else. Isn't that what we look for in life? Good things. I mean, I do. I like good things. Good things are good. Bad things are bad. That's deep theology, but nonetheless, I like the good things. You know, we're to be like Christ. Have you ever read anywhere in the Word of God where Christ treated somebody real bad? Or where Christ offered bad things? Or where Christ turned away from somebody? Denied them? No. You're not going to find it either. He never refused anyone. A lot of people refused him, but he never refused anyone. Listen, if you draw a crowd of people because of good things, isn't that a good thing? You draw people over good things. It may cost the church some money. It may cost the people some time. But if we present the gospel, that's a good thing because they come out maybe to use us. Good. While they're there, guess what? Offer them the gospel. Maybe the only time they ever hear it. I was getting gas yesterday at Smith's. Up walks this young lady, probably in her 20s, maybe pushing 30. She said, I'm embarrassed to do what I've got to do, but I need to buy some diapers for my child. I just got in from Utah. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, sure you do. But you know what I did? I said, you know, honestly, and I opened my wallet. I said, I don't have no money in there. I said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, I got some change, and my wife don't know this yet, but I cleaned out her little change deal in the car. I pulled it back, and I'm like, $2 or $3. And I told her, I said, look, this is what I got. I said, you can take it. Do what you got to do. I hope it helps. I said, but you know, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you're from Utah. She said, yeah. And she said, I said, well, I'm a preacher. Oh, well, I just talked with the bishop. I said, yeah, you're a Mormon, aren't you? She said, yes, sir. Very nice, polite lady. I said, well, look, I said, that's neither here nor there. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I said, the pastor wagon wheel. I said, let me give you my card. And I said, but let me ask you something. I said, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Well, yeah, He died for everybody. I said, that ain't what I ask. I said, do you know Him personally as your Savior? Well, I don't know. I said, well, you can know. And I said, I tell you what, I said, you take my card, and on the back of it's Romans 10:9-10 on it. I said, you read that. I said, you think about that. I said, don't go by what the bishop tells you or what I tell you. I said, you go by that. You see, I did a good thing for her, although she may be wanting to use it in a rotten way. That's her problem. But I gave her the gospel through that process. Maybe the only time she ever hears it, because she's sure not going to hear it if she goes down here on the corner of Racetrack and Burkholder. You're not going to hear the gospel there. They'll tell you there's a Jesus, but it ain't the same Jesus we know, bless God. Amen? It's not. The Jesus I know is God. But, hey, I've done the best I could do for her. I gave her something good, and in process, I gave her the gospel. Now, like I said, she may use it, however, that's her problem. I'm just doing what the Lord told me to do. Offer good. That's what He done. He was offering good to these people. These people showed up. They followed Him all over the place because He was healing the blind. He was healing the disease. He doing all of that stuff. They followed Him around. But that same group of people, a lot of them, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them stood there that not too many days, well, not too long from there, and said, crucify Him. But it ain't because they didn't hear the Word of God. Now, let's get to the message. That was just kind of like the intro. The people followed Jesus, and they followed Him to a desert place, and it was a long way back to Long John Silver's, or to Freddy's, or maybe Denny's. You know, they had a Denny's in Jerusalem during that day. No, I don't know that. But they needed something. They needed food. See, there they are. People, you know people need? We do. We're a needy bunch of folks. Everybody's needy. I don't care how rich you are. It don't matter how poor you are, how smart you are, how dumb you are. Everybody's needy. A lot of folk are a lot smarter than they really are. But there's a lot of folk that think they're real smart. I better leave that alone. Everybody's needy. And that's what these people were. They were needy. They followed Him, it says, because of the miracles He was doing. They went to a desert place way away from everything. Now there was a real problem. They were hungry. And Jesus told His disciples, He said, hey, let's feed them. Philip is like, say what? You know, you ever thought that? When somebody tells you to do something, why? Are you serious? Jesus, we don't have enough money to buy the bread to even give them a little bit. And you want us to feed them? That's basically what He was saying. Of course, Jesus already knew what He was going to do. He already had, listen, things do not hit Jesus by surprise. He's not sitting up there in heaven and saying, whoa, I didn't see that coming, man. Why didn't you tell me something, Gabriel? Listen, it's not accidental. He understands these things. He knows what's coming along, and He knows what He's going to do. You see, Jesus had a plan. He's still got a plan. Amen, Sister Betty. He does. He's carrying that plan out. We watch the news. Try not to. I've laid away from it here lately. But we watch the news and then we're like, what are we going to do? Listen, Jesus has got it taken care of. And He ain't going to use Democrats, Republicans, socialists, conservatives, or liberals to take care of it. They all think they're something, but they're not. Notice verse 8 and verse 9. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. You know, here's this boy, Andrew, sees this boy, or maybe the boy walked up because maybe he overheard it. And he's like, look, this is all I got. So Andrew says, oh, hey, Jesus, there's a boy over here that's got 2 small fishes and 5 barley loaves. By the way, if you look up and figure out how big them loaves of bread were, they were about that big. That ain't much. Listen, that ain't much for a young boy at all. That's just a little nibble to him. Look, when I was young, I could eat 2 Whoppers, large order of fries, a large Dr. Pepper, get a refill, a vanilla milkshake, and then when I was done, I was like, what else is there? Because I had 3 kids, and I had to clean up what they ain't going to eat, because I didn't waste the money. Unless I slobbered on it, and then I ain't eating it. But, you know, so that wasn't even much for him. You know, really and truly, when you think about it, 2 small fishes, they were 5 loaves, which were about that big, about the size of your fist. But you know what? When Jesus acts on something, when Jesus gets a hold of something, it becomes a lot. It becomes a miracle. Listen, what you have may not be much. You might think when the offering plate comes around, well, I ain't got but a buck. Hopefully you're paying your tithes, and that may not be but a buck. I don't know what you make. And you may want to give an offering. Well, I don't have but a nickel. You may not have much. You may not have much of anything. But if Jesus has it, listen, the Lord can do better with what you have than what you can. We might think we can manage it real well. And I know some people that's managed what they have real well. But listen, as well as what we think we can do, Jesus can do a whole lot better. You see, Jesus can do more with your money than you possibly can. Jesus can do more with your time than you possibly... Well, I don't have a lot of time. I work all these hours. Listen, Jesus can manage your time better than you can. Jesus can help you with your spouse problems a whole lot better than you can. Yeah, he ain't met my spouse yet. Well, he may have. Nonetheless, he can do better with your kids than you can. You know, we think kids has got to have this and kids has got to have that. Kids got to have this. And then when we finally get to Jesus, well, yeah, they need a little of that. They need a lot of that. You see, what kids need is Jesus. Not all of the garbage that the world offers. There's nothing wrong with them playing softball, football, baseball, hockey, soccer, all of those games. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with computer games in themselves, the clean ones. There's nothing wrong with doing it, but we need Jesus to help us with the timing of that. You see, He can do so much better with your kids than you can. He can do much better with your talents. Well, I don't have none. Sure you do. Everybody's got a talent. You know, I pretend I play guitar. I play at it. Brother Dave, which he'll be here tonight. He don't come on Sunday mornings, but he's teaching me guitar. And I don't know, he's probably got to go to the doctor every time he deals with me. Because he's like, didn't you remember what I showed you? And he'll say, I'll hit a chord, and he'll say, no. You know, that ain't it. He's got a better talent at playing guitar than I do. Sister Deb and Sister Judy sings much better than I can. There's some other people in here that can sing, and they don't think they can, but listen, when you give it to Jesus, you can sing. Oh, I worry about what it sounds like to everybody. Who are you singing to? You singing to Hannah, or are you singing to Jesus? I worry about what it... Listen, the Lord says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Listen, by the time it gets to heaven, it sounds good. That's all that counts, if it's from the heart. You see, Jesus can do so much better with your talents, but not only that, He can do so much better with your life than what you can. You know, I think, well, I got it all under control. Sure. I can't even control what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. I think I've got it under control, but I really don't know. Hey, I may drop dead. Then what you going to do? Listen, if I fall over dead up here, Brother Kevin, come up here and pick up where I left off. I'll be okay. I'm gone. Make sure I'm dead. Yeah, he ain't breathing. And then go on preaching. And don't nobody leave. Stay here and preach the gospel. Because, listen, that's the way a person's going to see me again if they get the gospel. They get that gospel and accept it into their heart. They ask the Lord Jesus to save them. I'll see you again in heaven. Without it, when I fall over dead, I apologize now. I didn't wave bye. I was rude. Because without the gospel, you ain't going to heaven. Without the Lord Jesus, you ain't going. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Allah ain't going to get you there. Joseph Smith can't get you there. Mary Baker Eddy can't get you there. None of the Jehovah's Witnesses can get you there. The Catholics can't get you there. And the Pope ain't going to do nothing for you. And you can go get a little thing on your head up here all you want, but it's a waste of time. The only way to heaven is that if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's it. That's the only way there. I can't get you to heaven, but the Lord Jesus can. You see, we have to trust in Him. But now I want you to notice something here as we go along. You know, whenever you make your mind up to do something, to give it to God and let's see what God has. You know who shows up? The devil. Look at that verse we were reading. It says, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Andrew had it going. He's like, whoa, look at this. Here's 5 fishes. And 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. Look at here. And the devil says, are you an idiot? There's 5,000 plus people out there. There could have been 15, 20,000 people. Are you nuts? But what are they among so many? The Lord said, hey, I want you to do this. What? I can't do that. Really? If you give it to the Lord, you can. You see, we're going to see that. You know, aren't you glad that the Lord works on what the boy had? Not on, but what are they among so many? You want me to do what, Lord? Oh, nothing. That was a mistake. I'll go over here. No. He said, this is what I want you to do. He called me to preach, and I'm like, what? Uh-uh. I can't do that. I can't stand up there in front of a bunch of folks and pitch a fit and read out of the Bible. Listen, I have a hard time speaking English. I know I'm from America. I speak Southern well, but English is hard. The Hispanics, folks, they think they had it bad because they got to, they know Spanish and they got to learn English. Listen, most of them speak English better than I do. And I was born and raised here. They tell me there ain't no word ain't. Yes, there is. Fixing to. Yeah, I'm fixing to do something. What was the word I used this morning? She said, what time we need to leave? I said, I don't know, 9:15. And I said, it's 8:30. She said, it's what? I said, it's 8:30. She said, so we're going to leave at 8:30, 9 or 9:15? I said, no, it's 8:30. Oh, see, we gobble part of it. It's a waste of time. It's 8:30. You just say, it's 8:30. That means it's 8:30. Or you can lay it out, it is 8:30 at the present time. You see, there's a lot of stuff went into that don't need to. But listen, English is, it's rough. It's a rough subject. I've told you this before. I passed English in college because I bought my teacher Taco Bell every day. If you don't believe me, ask her. She'll tell you. That's the reason she passed me with a C. Had nothing to do because I knew what I was doing. That's plain and apparent. Look at my writing. She always, I write stuff and she's like, hang on a minute. She'll go through there and punctuate it where it's supposed to. I'm like, look, I can read it and understand it. They can too. No, they can't. You got to have a comma here. You got to have a period there or they won't know to stop. I'm like, oh. All right. Notice verse 10. Is it verse 10? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And like I said, there was men, women, and children. It's hard to say how many people were there. I'm just going to say, if everybody had a wife and everybody had a kid, that makes what? 5, 10, 15. 15,000. So he had them all sit down, and Jesus took the loaves. He walked over to the little boy and said, give me that. No, that ain't what he did. The kid offered it, and he took the loaves. And he gave thanks. I'd say he thanked the kid, but he also thanked God. He gave thanks, and he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples took them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. As much as they wanted. It wasn't they walk up, now you just get a half. Oh, you're a little bigger than that one, get you a whole one. No, as much as they wanted. And they delivered it all out. You see, the boy gave his lunch to Jesus. Jesus thanked him for it. You know, if we'll give what we have to God, no matter how little it is, no matter how worthless we think it is, Jesus can take it and use it for the glory of God. And He'll take what you've got, and it's unreal what He'll do with it. You see, Jesus wants us to be willing to give it to Him. I don't read where there was a fight with the kid and him. You ain't taking my lunch. I don't read that. I read where Jesus took it and used it. It was offered to Him. You see, Jesus wants us to offer our money to Him. Ooh. My money? I've known for a lot of stuff, but not my money. Money, yeah, that's what He wants. He wants you to offer your money. He wants you to offer your time. Lord, I don't know. I don't have much time, but what time I have, I'm going to give it to You and You'll help me with it. He wants you to give Him your spouse. Offer your spouse. Well, he don't even come to church. She don't come to church. She's an idiot. I had one person laugh on that one. He's an idiot. Oh, we had several laughs on that. Look, you married them. That's your problem. No, you give it to God. God will take care of them. Give your spouse to God. He'll take care of it. a whole lot better than you can. He wants you to give Him your kids, your children, no matter how great you think they are, no matter how worthless you think they are, He wants you to give them to Him. Oh, He wants you to give Him your talents. But you know what He wants more than anything? He wants you. See, He wants you, not part of you, but all of you. He wants you to say, Lord, I'm yours. You use me the way that you need to. And He'll take care of it. You see, now, watch what happens here. Verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Now, pay attention. I want you to get this. And when they were, what's it say? Filled. Not just a little bit. Not wanting more, but when they were filled. They had all that they needed to sustain them. They didn't want any more. They were filled. And then it says, and they took up all the fragments and filled up 12 baskets full. I don't know how big the baskets were, but they were 12 baskets full. All over 2 little fishes and 5 little loaves fed 5,000 plus people. What can the Lord do with what I have? What did He do with 2 little fishes? What did He do with 5 little loaves of bread? He fed 5,000 plus people. You see, when you give what you have to Jesus, He'll amaze you. Matter of fact, you'll look back and you'll say, oh, wow. Wow, I can't believe that. You see, I got a little blessing. I got my pickup back. And it is a blessing.
Amen.
And the Lord will help me keep my foot out of it. He has, since I picked it up yesterday. It will run a little faster than it used to. It gets to 50 real quick, so I got to be careful on Boulder Highway and racetrack. But you know what the blessing is I put it up, I put the van, because the church voted, well, we need to get rid of it. It's a problem. It's constantly, we're working on it. I put it up for sale on OfferUp. I asked somebody what it was worth, and they said, oh, about $2,000. And I'm thinking, I got problems. I can't get a motor with that, but I'll go with what I've got. I wasn't going to put it on Craigslist. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I got to do something. So I put it on Craigslist. Well, and Lord still ain't done nothing a few hours later. Because I don't waste a lot of time. I don't think Lord does. I waited on Him a couple hours. And I said, you know what, Lord? I said, I think what I'll do in the morning is I'll take it down to a dealer and just sell it to them. Just say, what do you give me for it, and we'll deal with it. The next morning, a guy calls me. He said, hey, you still got that van? I said, yeah. He said, my boss wants your van. I said, okay. I mean, you hear stuff. He says, yeah, he said, we're Revolution Speed Cars. We work on Chevys. I said, you work on what? He said, Chevys. He said, yeah, we build engines. I said, really? I said, you know what? I said, I got a deal for you. I said, you into bartering? Oh, I'm sure he would. I said, well, tell him to call me then. He calls, and through a series of deals, he shows up at my house and he looks at it and he said, yeah. He said, what do you want done? I said, I want a motor, and I'll give him some certain specs. I said, I need a Flowmaster pipe system on it. I said, my trainee's acting up. I'm not sure. He said, I can do that. I said, well, you want to look at the van? He said, it looks all right. I said, let's go look at it. We opened the door and he stuck his head. Yeah, good. I said, the side door is a real pain. There's a combination. I don't care. I said, well, do you want to hear it run? He said, no. He said, apparently it runs. Well, I said, well, here. I cranked it up. He said, sounds good. He said, let me get back with you in a few days. I said, okay. He sends me everything he's going to do, $6,000 plus is what it would have cost. He said, all I want is the title to that van. He said, I'll get your truck where you want it. I said, okay. And I said, thank you. You see, what little you have, the Lord will make it happen if you give it to Him. And that's what we're to do in life. We're to give ourselves to Him, and He will make you say, oh, wow. You know, we went and fed at the homeless. Lori can back me up, and Sandy, Deanna, Ryan, and Becca. We've been down there and had a pot of stew, big old pot about that big around like this, and run slap out with 100 people. But they all got fed. Then we went down there with the same amount and had 150 people and fed them all and then had to have them come back for seconds. And I'm like, thank you. Because I'm thinking, this ain't going to make it. I've told her we'd get down there and we'd back up and Craig would come out there and I'd say, hey, we don't have enough soup to feed that many people. Howard and Helen go, they'll tell you. But it always seems to happen. The Lord always takes care, and not a one of them's ever walked away and said, well, I didn't get nothing to eat. They all got fed. The Lord is taking care of them. He will wow you. But I want you to notice one other thing, and then we're going to close. Look at verse 14. Then those men rose, and when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When you study that prophet that should come into the world that was prophesied, it isn't John the Baptist, it wasn't Isaiah, it wasn't Elijah, it was the Messiah. They realize that that given time, that's the one that we've been waiting on. That's who it was. When you finish reading the story, you'll find out the Lord realized they were wanting to take Him by force and make Him king, and it wasn't ready yet. But they realized who He was. You see, when we give it all to God, He gets the glory. And that's what it's all about. Now, do you realize who Jesus is? One of the questions, a certain person, and I won't give you the answer, the Lord said, Who am I? He said, you're the Son of God. You see, He knew that. Do you know that? You see, He's the Almighty God in flesh. He's alive and today and on the right hand of God. And He wants you and me to come to Him, because He will in no wise cast you out. He won't take what you've got and say, well, this is useless. He'll use it. You see, He wants us to give what we have and what time we have, and He will show you great and wonderful things. Let's stand. Sister Diane, if you'll come up. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I want to ask you a serious question. Do you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior? Because if you don't, seriously, when I leave here today and you leave here today, may be the last time you'll ever see me. Maybe the last time I'll ever see you. But if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, I may not see you again on the face of this earth. But I'll see you in heaven. But you got to trust Him. Are you giving everything you have to the Lord? Are you giving it all to Him? Because He'll use it a whole lot better than what you can. As Sister Diane plays, if you feel you need to come up here and talk with me or have prayer or maybe just pray at the altar.